I know it seems crazy, but Tracy and I are totally, totally in love.
In love?
Yeah. It's serious. She inspires me in ways that Linda never has. She even wants to read my novel.
But you haven't written your novel.
That's the whole point!
TBTL!
Guys, I'm calling you from a karaoke bar bathroom. Somebody just put on Bohemian Rhapsody. Save me, please!
I have a beta sequence I've been working on. Would you like to see it?
That's our second Arby's in town. Some say it's better. The fries are curlier. Though, I wouldn't know it. I'm loyal to the original.
We have all the facts on this we need. We don't need any more facts. In the land of truth, my friend, the man with one fact is the king.
Hey, look here. Why don't we eat us a few thousand beers and you tell me what's buzzing in the big bad city?
Hey, Rude Dog, you ready? You don't look ready. All right, well, here we go, one way or the other. It's a Tuesday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Now we're going to look at a place where hipster culture and world events collide.
It's known as an imaginary radio program. I'm known as your host, Luke Burbank.
I bear no blood relation to the screenwriter of Speed, but I am currently on it.
Weighing in at 187 pounds.
Jalapeno!
Just staying the course. Staying the course and also trying to figure out how I can drop 4 lbs before Saturday, January 20th, excuse me, when we will be celebrating the 10th anniversary. That is 10 years of this here program. A program that comes to you today from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill. It's episode 2,551 in a collector's series.
Let the fun begin.
We have a lot to talk about. Of course, I often start the show talking to the pod dog over there, but speaking of dogs...
He was a little dog named Snuggles.
She was actually a little dog named Zoe, and she was in the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania when she was picked up by an eagle.
Let the eagle soar. Like she's never soared before.
That was a longer version of that song than I was expecting to play. But once it got going, I just didn't want to interrupt John Ashcroft because it was so beautiful. Anyway, Zoe, I believe a Bichon, 8-pound Bichon, was picked up by an eagle and flown off, never to be seen again. But guess what? She was seen again. We'll tell you the story. Also, something happened at the Golden Globes over the weekend. James Franco won a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a musical or comedy. And then he did something kind of, some people say rude, when Tommy Wiseau, this guy...
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
That guy came on stage because the role that James Franco won the award for was portraying this guy...
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
...in that movie, The Disaster Artist. But he seems to have a really complicated relationship with that guy. And I've actually wanted to talk about this for a while. Like, is the joke on Tommy Wiseau, the guy who made the movie The Room, which is a very bad movie? Is the joke on him? Is he in on the joke? Is all this new attention he's getting, is it the best thing to happen to him, or is it maybe the worst thing? Anyway, we'll talk about that, too, plus emails and V-mails. And this guy, the longest-running co-bro of the show, he's known in these parts as Vitamin A. He bought a drawing of a tall ship, but it doesn't mean he thinks he deserves a hot air balloon. And he's nailing down his plans for dinner tonight.
I might have tacos when I go home. I'm not quite sure yet.
That's an old one. And he joins us from the Wallingford neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. He's Andrew Walsh. Hello, my dude.
Hey, Luke. A couple of things. I'm glad you... I hope you're doing well, by the way. I'm just launching right in. Everything good?
Go for it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you played the long version of Let the Eagle Soar. We don't hear that enough these days. I mean, that thing is getting long in the tooth, isn't it? It just delights me, and I'm so glad we didn't cut it short. Secondly, where have all of our singing politicians gone? Like, we don't have any singing politicians. right now, do
Did
we?
Did we have a lot of them at one point besides John Ashcroft?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe not. I just did a quick Google.
Maybe is a more accurate question, where did all our singing politician go?
Yeah, probably. I just Googled singing politicians, and I got four results. John Ashcroft Ooh. Is the first one. Somebody named yeah.
Let the eagle soar.
I mean, I say this kind of thing a lot on the show now, and it's probably a little tiresome, but like, can you believe when he was one of the more out there politicians that we had?
I
like,
know.
This was, you know, mocked mercilessly on The Daily Show. And, you know, I mean, it was like, and again, I'm not personally a fan of John Ashcroft's politics, but he's positively level headed compared to what goes on these days.
Yeah, he was scary, but at least he was professionally scary, I guess.
That's a decent show title, by the way. Professionally scary.
Or where have all our singing politicians go? I like that.
Who else is on the list, by
okay,
the way?
So you have somebody named John Redwood, who seems to be British. And so when you type in John Redwood singing, you get this is him singing the national anthem with other people, but I'm trying to figure out why he stands out.
That doesn't sound like the national anthem.
Not your national anthem.
Sing an American.
That's what I say. I don't quite get... You know what? That maybe is... They're making fun of him maybe because he's not really singing. He's just mouthing the words and bobbing his head. Then you have this guy, Craig Emerson, who's of Australia. It says he is singing... No, Wyla.
I was just
going to
say.
You know this guy?
I was just going to. No, but I was going to say, I bet you Australia has some singing politicians. Because they have, like, they've got that one guy who's still mad at Johnny Depp and his ex-wife right. about bringing dogs into the country. It's like, his name's like Barry Fife or something. Like, he has like a really Australian name. And, like, I feel like they just have characters over there. Most of what I know about Australia came from watching the movie Strictly Ballroom when I was 19. So, I've got a firm grasp on the nation, I think.
Was he like the agriculture commissioner or the person in front of in charge of agriculture? Anyway, so I want to hear this. This is somebody in Australia named Craig Emerson sings No Wyala Wipeout.
Well, this is the mood in Wyala.
What is happening? I don't get it. I think this is a bad idea.
Can you start singing?
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, let me explain what's happening. This looks like it's a TV interview. He said, this is what's happening in Wyala, or this is the mood in Wyala. He stands there for a while and stares at the camera. That noise we're hearing off camera, I think, is the beginning of a song that somebody is maybe playing through a phone or a boombox nearby, and he has now just started kind of dancing along to it a little bit. We're halfway through this. I think he's about to start singing. Okay. Still dancing.
No Wyala Wipeout there on my TV. No Wyala Wipeout there on my TV. No Wyala Wipeout there on my TV. Shocking me right out of my brain. Shocking me right out of my brain.
Okay, listen, that wasn't as smooth as
I
had
definitely
hoped.
Paid
but it
off.
Paid
no, that
off.
100% paid off. I will. Now, can you get him to sing a song about Bernie Kosar?
I probably can. I probably
By the way,
can. That was wonderful, right?
That was magical. That was so magical. It's a weird day. Today is a weird day because we did a 3-hour show yesterday, and I feel like you and I still have so much to get to just in terms of catching up, which is a strange thing because, like, you would think 3 hours, it was enough. But I was like, today I got up and I was like, oh, yeah, I got so many things I got to talk to Andrew about.
I feel the same way. Well, a lot of that was sports talk. You know, I think we went 3 hours yesterday, but I think our actual show was just a little bit over an hour. I think we had more No Point Conversion than TBTL yesterday, probably. I'm not sure about that. I have a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about.
One of the things on my list to discuss with you was the Wyala Wipeout. So now that's checked off.
The mood. Oh, I saw that on the show sheet. What is the mood in Wyala? But I'm glad we're able to figure it out.
We're getting better at just working like assiduously through the show sheet and just hitting all of the topics that we're planning on talking about.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about now? We have a few minutes before the break. What's on your mind? What's top of mind?
Okay. One thing is during our 2 week break, at some point when you came back from Hawaii, you mentioned to me like, oh, FYI, your email's not working, and useless details aside, it had to do with. I needed to buy more storage space through the nightmare that is GoDaddy.com.
Just to be clear, this is your TBTL email. This is the email address that listeners can get at.
Yeah, Luke@TBTL.net, yeah. Which, by the way, works again. But somehow in the process of resetting it up, I wiped it, which I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't sad about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? I mean, that was a good – she was like, I can reset it up for you, but – you're not going to have any, you're going to have to start over with emails. And I was like, God bless you. God bless you, anonymous helpline lady from GoDaddy.com.
That's interesting, though. So, I'm sorry, did you say the issue was that it wasn't like a stoppage of payment or something? It was because it was technically a stoppage
of payment. It was me not paying them. So then they stoppaged of my email. But for some reason, your Andrew TBTL.net continued to work. It was some bizarre thing I didn't understand. I had to buy more room,
okay.
And my account had been disabled for some reason. But the reason I bring this up is twofold. One, I'm going to try to be better in 2018 at responding to listener emails to Luke@TBTL.net. I don't know if you've noticed this, Andrew, but I've already replied to like two or three emails from listeners.
Yes, I did.
In 2018, which is more than I did in all of 2017. So
all of them said, though, please stop fucking emailing me, which I thought was an interesting response.
Those were meant for you, actually. did I CC the listeners in on that?
That was the auto response that you have set up specifically for me. Gotcha.
I feel like I have a new lease on email or a new lease on life, which is... Because I don't – when I had thousands of messages, most of them unread in there and a ton of spam, like somebody signed me up for the Family Research Council, which is like a right-wing, like anti-homosexuality, a bunch of stuff like website. Somebody signed me up under the name Masturbation.
Ah.
So I get these emails from the Family Research Council addressed to Masturbation. Which is actually a pretty good spoof. I have to give it up to the person who did that.
Well, that's a pretty good spoof.
And that's been going on for a long time?
Years, like 2 or 3 years. And I still get a bit of a chuckle out of it, no joke. There's something about the disconnect between Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council saying some horribly small-minded thing, but addressing it to masturbation.
Right. Is it two words like Master Splinter?
No, it's one word. Okay. They've clearly not set up their system to catch things like that. By the way, I recommend this. This is a fun, if you're low on funds, this is a fun gift for those people in your life. Sign them up for weird mailing list shit, but then just put a name like Masturbation in. Anyway, I have just get all kinds of spam email and PR stuff I didn't ask for. It's like basically that Luke@TBTL account has become pretty compromised. But now that I don't have that many messages in there. Oh, and speaking of which, we're gonna need a fresh batch of music for your weekend selection. So if there are songs that you're enjoying, send them in and just put music for your weekend in the subject line. I need to rebuild that database. But anyway, it's because I am kind of starting over. What I'm doing is every time I get like a spam email, I mark it as such. So I'm gonna try to just kind of it's a garden that was full of weeds, my Luke@TBTL.net email, and I'm now going in and weeding it and pruning. I'm going to make it a beautiful flower bed of responding to the listeners.
Even though you are the person who handles the listener submissions for Music for Your Weekend, I'm copied on a lot of them. I can't tell you what percentage because I don't know how many I'm not copied on, but I get, several a week at least, and I save them in a special folder called Music for Your Weekend, which I should probably start thinking about clearing out some of the old ones because there must be hundreds in there now. Would it help you if I forwarded you the ones that I've received in the past, let's say, 2 weeks?
Yeah, couldn't hurt, I guess. But even so, if somebody emailed me directly with a song suggestion, and let me mention, too, if you're going to send in a selection for Music Free Weekend, tell us why you like the song and also please include a link. But yeah, forward those over. I will accept those. But I would also just like the listeners to generate some more ideas too. So anyway, I guess I just bring that up because, one, I'm going to try to be better about this email in 2018.
Nice.
All the time I would have spent tweetering, I will now spend responding to the dear listeners of this show.
That's nice. That's a good I think, switch. Not that you had to Indiana Jones it and take the gold off the scale and replace it with dust, but if you are, yeah. I think this is good dust to replace it with.
Indeed. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then we come back. I want to tell you the story of Zoe, the dog that was snatched by an eagle, and also Tommy Wiseau, the failed filmmaker who was snatched by James Franco and is kind of having a moment in the spotlight. All that and emails and VMLs coming up in a moment. Is this Dolly Parton?
Certainly is. It's Tennessee Homesick Blues. I have been going through a little bit, not a big one, but a little bit of a Dolly Parton phase here, and I don't know why. Dolly Parton is somebody who I've always kind of known of. Obviously, growing up, you know who Dolly Parton is. She's just a huge celebrity, but like, I don't know. I know that Genevieve and some friends got together and watched 9 to 5 recently. I didn't watch it with them. Mm-hmm. Maybe that put it on my mind for some reason. Genevieve loves 9 to 5. I've watched it with her before. Your Christmas cards were a little Dolly Parton.
I was just going to say, did you get
Willie
a Christmas
Nelson?
Card from us?
I did. Thank you.
Oh, good.
That's my wife.
And that's who you thank for that.
And that was a spoof. Your Christmas card was a spoof of the Dolly Parton Willie Nelson Christmas album, right?
Can I just tell you, just briefly insert a weird moment of parental pride?
Yeah.
For Christmas, we went over to, I mean, not actually on Christmas, but around Christmas, we went over to my daughter, Addie, and her boyfriend Hans's apartment. And it was so funny because, like, we went over there and she had a record on the record player, and it was that Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers record, the one that we made our Christmas card around. Which she just happened to have because my kid is that kind of like hip, you know, varied person. For some reason, that made me very proud. I was like, they hadn't gotten the Christmas card yet.
That was my question.
She just randomly had it and was listening to it. And I was like, I don't know. It's just for some reason that struck me as kind of funny. Like, she's 23 years old. I don't know what she's doing with a Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, and she's not into country music per se, but she just is kind of one of those. Polymaths now, where she just likes a lot of different interesting stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe Dolly Parton's in the air. I mean, I talked about her a little bit when Kesha released her album this summer. I don't know if you recall.
I kind of got a little
obsessed with that Kesha album for just like a hot minute. And, you know, Kesha's mom wrote that song for Dolly Parton called Old Flames, right? Can't Hold a Candle to You. I remember you were very into the name of it. Anyway, so I was listening to that. So somehow I've just been thirsting for some Dolly. It's something that I don't really have much kind of knowledge of. So I've been kind of like just scrolling through some kind of best of lists online, like essential Dolly Parton songs, and messing around and just kind of Googling around a little bit. And I came across that song that I just played for you. And it
Which
was,
I like, by the way.
Thanks. And it was, I mean, I didn't write it, but I guess I'll say thanks there. Anyway, so I think there was a write-up from Billboard magazine saying this is one of the essential Dolly Parton songs. And there was a little blurb under it how this song came from the soundtrack of this movie she made in 1984 with Sylvester Stallone called Rhinestone.
Oh, Over the Top.
Rhinestone,
yes.
Yeah, I don't think she's in
I always
over
mix
the
that
top.
Up. Right.
But Rhinestone, though,
course.
Huh?
Yeah.
Have you
Rhinestone
seen it?
Rhinestone was one of those – I don't think I saw it, but what I saw – was the laser disc.
You just saw the cover of the laser disc.
I used to, around the corner from our house growing up on Aurora Avenue, literally at the corner of 77th and Aurora, used to be a place called Erickson's Appliance. At some point, it became a Jack Roberts Linwood Home Appliance. Did you get to Seattle in time for some good Jack Roberts I Won't Be Undersold?
I don't think so, no.
You never saw those? You know, like every town has its like weird local kind of terrible commercial, and it was for many years this guy Jack Roberts
Jack Roberts' Linwood home appliance, and his catchphrase was, "I won't be undersold." It was always him and his wife. His wife was just, I mean, unbelievably unconvincing as the spokesperson. And let me just grab one for you really quick. Play this for you.
Hey, Jack, what's with the pitchfork?
I'm changing my image with some down-home deals these here critters at Jack Roberts' appliance.
Well, these aren't critters. These magic chefs have up to $500 rebates, and our prices can't be beat.
$500 rebates, easy credit terms, 90 days same as cash, and we take bank cards.
Jack, what's with this debt? You're not crazy anymore. You've become plain, too down home, and, well, kind of dull.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, it's back to old tried and true. I won't be undersold.
He's chainsaw, right?
For some reason.
I have seen these only because listeners have been sending them in. I don't even know under what auspices for after these messages. I don't. Somebody sent a bunch of those in. I don't think it was Phyllis, but we went through and played a whole bunch of them. So yeah, I'm only familiar with them in that way.
That's actually a really fun. I mean, you're probably doing it on ATM, but. That would be a fun bit just to have people send in again. Maybe you're already doing this, like the commercials from their kind of area, their region that they grew up with of the like ridiculous, like in LA, it would be Crazy Gideon, who is a electronics, you know, guy, who would like stand on the roof of his store and throw shit off. I'm Crazy Gideon. Anyway, so that Jack Roberts Linwood Home Appliance, which had another branch at 77th and Aurora. This is a long way to go to tell you that I saw a laser disc of Rhinestone. but before that, it was Erickson Appliance, and which is, you know, just a like small kind of mom and pop thing. Anyway, I used to hang out in there, and they sold appliances, but they also, for some reason, had a bunch of laser discs. I don't know if they also sold laser discs, or like if you bought a laser disc player, maybe you got a free laser disc or something. But they lined the wall like there was a shelf going around the whole store, if I remember right, and there was laser discs. And there were so many movies that I never saw the movie, but I would look at the laser disc because they had a couple kids that were roughly my age. My dad's sign shop was like two doors down. So I would just hang out in this appliance store sometimes.
How much of they loved it?
And here's how they didn't love me. I went and had a sleepover. They had a son, and I went and had a sleepover. I don't know where they lived, somewhere south of Seattle. I'm going to say like Auburn or something. And I've told this story before. I was spending over with this kid, and I was in this bed. He was in a different bed, and we were watching like a movie. And for some reason, his mom brought us food. We were allowed to eat food in bed, and it was pork and beans or something. It was something that involved baked beans. And I spilled this into this kid. Like, this was the kind of bed that had drawers coming out of it,
yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yep, underneath, yeah.
And it was like, yeah, it was like the drawer was pulled out and it had like socks in it and stuff. And I just remember spilling this plate of like hot dogs and beans, spilling some of it into there. And then for some reason, my kid brain just thinking, well, I got to hide this, and just putting the whole plate full of baked beans in this kid's sock drawer, then just closing it and being like, nobody will ever know.
Okay, then that is on you. Because I was going to say, to the parent who gets mad at the kid sleeping over
pork and beans in bed.
Yeah.
Like, it's the weirdest thing ever. That's like a John and Yoko project.
But yeah, if
for
you decided
months,
not
they
to
just
report
ate pork
it.
And beans in bed.
If you decided not to report it, then I think that is part, you do share in the responsibility.
I do believe that I made it worse. I think there was some spillage, and then for some reason I just why my reaction to that was just to put the whole plate down there and then just close it. So anyway, I saw the laser disc of Rhinestone is what I'm trying to tell you, Andrew.
And that was your review of the movie. I did end up watching the movie on Friday night. I was in a goofy mood. That was when I think it was Friday evening. I got done with TBTL, but I was still like just kind of sitting behind my computer doing a bunch of emails. And I don't know if you ever have a day like this. Because we didn't actually record a show that day, I had my laptop out in the dining room. And so my Friday work and just kind of slipped into Friday fun times while I was still sitting behind the computer. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you're doing work, you're doing some emails, and then you're like, well, maybe I could listen to some Dolly Parton while I do these emails. And then you call up a Billboard top 25 Dolly Parton thing, and then you start listening to it in the background, but then it starts taking over more of your attention. Next thing you know, you're looking all over your streaming sites to see if you can find Rhinestone on Amazon or Hulu or what's the other one? Netflix, all of which we pay for, and none of which...
Jack Roberts Appliances...
Sorry, that wasn't supposed to be happening. Keep going.
None of which provided me with Rhinestone, which really makes you, you know, ask, why am I paying for all of this? But it turns out people... If you search for a movie or a TV show that is on that is not on Hulu, but you search it, let's say you type in Hulu streaming Rhinestone, you will get results that are like websites 123hulu.com/rhinestone. Like somehow somebody is, I guess, making money by just illegally streaming these things under fake websites called 123 Netflix or ABC Hulu. Have you run into any of this before yourself?
I have, I think. Yeah, when looking for a movie that wasn't readily available, I've always assumed that that didn't really work. Like, did you end up watching Ryan? And by the way, talk about a niche market. Hey, what do you do? I illegally stream the movie Rhinestone.
Right. I can't figure out, like, why they're motivated to do that, because it doesn't seem like there's advertising on these sites. I don't know.
But it worked?
It worked, start to finish. So I'm just sitting behind my computer in the dining room, kind of, you know, sort of, I guess, not working anymore at this point. And I've just started the beginning of the movie to see if it would be to my taste. And then I think Genevieve came home and I'm like, hey, this movie Rhinestone, 1984, featuring not just Dolly Parton, but Sylvester Stallone. I will later find out is written by Sylvester Stallone, co-written. And it is based on the song Rhinestone Cowboy, like basically.
By Glenn Campbell?
Yes. Well, I assume he wrote it. That's certainly the version I know. But a song about somebody who's kind of a fake cowboy who just kind of dresses up like a cowboy and sings country western songs, right? And so that's the plot of this movie. Dolly Parton enters a bet. Like any good 80s movie, the plot revolves around a bet. And she bets her manager guy that she can just find any guy off the street and turn him into a rhinestone cowboy in 2 weeks and he'll be able to perform. And the movie... Lou,
should we listen to the trailer for Rhinestone?
Yeah, I have it here. Do you have it on your end, too?
Oh, I do, too. Yeah, you play it from there. I want to hear this.
This is the...
not that you're not doing a good job describing it.
Yeah, this is the one-minute
version. I love 80s
here.
Trailers.
Yes. Okay. Let's hear if yours sounds a little bit better. That's a little muddy.
I think we'll be playing the same one. Are you playing this off of YouTube?
Yeah, is that the first one? Let me just see if there's another one. You can barely hear what he's saying. Let me try.
Okay, in the meantime, how about while you're finding it, can I play Sylvester Stallone singing Drinkenstein?
Oh, yes.
From that movie?
Oh, yeah, I know it well. Yeah. This is when he's just getting a little bit better. Not good yet at this point, but he's not as bad as he starts out.
Budweiser, you created a monster.
How did I not know this existed?
I know.
Frankenstein. In the tavern down the street is the laboratory.
I can't be clear enough. This is Sylvester Stallone, everybody.
Yes.
All the time. And a shine of Dr. Bud is a pint of monster.
This is the guy that wrote Rocky, for the record.
Did he?
Drinkenstein.
He wrote Rocky? I think I always forget
famously.
That. Okay.
Yeah, the whole story on that was he wrote Rocky and took it around, and lots of people wanted to make it, but nobody wanted him to be Rocky. And he just kept at it because he wanted to play Rocky. I believe he might have even directed it as well. But, of course, that was all just kind of... learning the ropes leading up to his performance of Drinkenstein.
Budweiser, you created a monster.
Like that. We've really been missing out not using that as a drop on this show.
Just bump in with it every day now.
Budweiser, you created a monster. Anyway, okay, so have you found another version of the trailer?
Yes. And let me just interject, though, you playing that. Like, I am realizing now that I'm kind of obsessed with this movie now. And I swear, I'm not in like kind of like a... I'm so random kind of way. Like,
right.
I stumbled on this honestly. I knew it was not going to be a good movie by any means, but I'm kind of going through that midlife crisis thing where I'm kind of attracted to watching watching just dumb old movies from the 80s because maybe it makes me feel like a kid again or something. It's just like my era. It feels cozy, mm-hmm. sort of, especially around the holidays.
Yeah.
So anyway, one thing I want to say, though. So the plot, which we'll hear in a second, is Dolly Parton is teaching this guy who's got no musical skill to eventually compete in a contest. And if he succeeds without the crowd heckling him, she will win the bet. What I want to say is, that song you just heard is about midway through the process, right? If I were to tell you that's actually the beginning of the process, you wouldn't think I'm lying to you because that's pretty bad. So because even when he's at his best, he's still pretty bad just in reality, they have to make his first time he opens his mouth to sing, it is so ridiculously bad in the movie. Like it is – He takes Dolly Parton to a place where there's an organ. It's actually above a funeral parlor, and he uses the funeral parlor organ. He plays a few chords, and then he just starts mashing the keys down and screaming nonsense at the top of his lungs, I think to the tune of Louie Louie or another song of that ilk. And it is so bad. And it's interesting to me that in order to make it at all conceivable that the final product we hear from him is actually good, they have to lower the bar.
They have to get the incredibly. Bar so low at the beginning.
This movie, Luke, and again, I'm not just saying this to be random. It fascinated me. More on that in a second. We got another 3-hour show coming on because I'm just getting started.
That's fine.
Here's a trailer.
Hello, out there! How's everybody feeling tonight?
You ever sing in front of a live audience before, ever?
Singing?
No, never.
I need a little work.
I know it. Well, now, if you're going to sing country, you're going to have to think it, walk it, talk it, sleep it. It's going to be a lot different where we're going.
Where are we going? Where
hustle's Tennessee. The name of the game. This man's going to be a country singer.
Who the hell mixed this? Like
that's
not,
what I was gonna say.
God,
jeez, were they having a stroke while they were mixing it?
He's off the faders just a little.
Relax
bit.
On the fader, bro.
Holy crap! A nice
guy's dog.
Dog.
Having a seizure from the audio.
That's country.
It's like the audio equivalent of flashing lights.
That's rigor mortis. There's been a
load of calm. What's the matter? You're wrecking my dignity. I'm a cabbie. I'm not a rhinestone laundry bag.
I mean, the first time I was ever on stage, I thought I was gonna die. I'm gonna
be. What'd you do? The lights
are shining. I threw up.
Who told the guy mixing this trailer that this was the way to mix this?
I don't know. This is like what happens when I pretend my line is going bad on you.
Look at the way you're dressed.
You look like a moving violation.
Hey, y'all. This man's from New York.
Buzzer!
Let's go.
Wait a minute. I'm supposed to say that.
What's the difference? And
the difference is it's my horse.
Okay, I don't think this is really helping anybody understand what the movie is about.
I actually weirdly enjoyed it. Because I'm imagining the guy in Studio City, California, who was mixing this trailer in 1982. And he was just like, okay, I'm just going to bring the music up in between each piece of dialogue.
Yes.
He's probably doing it on a reel-to-reel, right? He probably had like a reel-to-reel with the audio clips and a reel-to-reel with Glenn Campbell. And he was just live mixing it. He just was like, I mean, that's the most insane audio I've ever heard just based on his bringing the music up and down.
There's a chance he had some sort of a palsy or potentially like the DTs. Like, that's all I can figure out. Anyway, so I can't remember what I was saying before. The movie – okay, here's my bottom line on this movie, which is a really bad movie. Like, I do want people to watch it. I do think that you'll get some enjoyment out of it. I think the thing, though, the movie is so bad that it starts to fall into your usual tropes. Of course it does. But the movie is almost so badly written that the tropes don't always finish the way you think they are because there's an honest-to-God element of surprise when watching this thing because the actors, you don't know how they're ever going to react because there's no set pattern for it.
It becomes basically like absurdist.
It's almost absurdist. But it's not absurdist. It's just like you can actually enjoy it because you don't know exactly where everything is going. I think the thing I hate most about
movies, like this show.
Yeah. Is when, you know, they fall into a trope and then, you know, okay, now they're gonna kiss here. Oh, and now she's gonna throw a vase and now they're gonna get back together. Like it starts to follow some of that stuff, but then the reactions, and I don't know if it's because of the acting or the I think it's mostly the writing, a little bit of the directing, it's just kind of bonkers. And there are a few good lines that I legitimately laughed out loud at, one of which I pulled a drop here. I don't know if I'll ever be able to use it, but I don't know if you can tell what Dolly is saying here. I'll play it for you, and you can tell me.
There are two kinds of people in this world, and you ain't one of them.
That's my new favorite insult.
That's a great line.
Isn't that great? Like, that is not, like, ironically funny. That is just a good damn line. There are two types of people in this world, and you ain't one of them.
That's great. That replaces the line from Virginia Woolf.
Right.
Virginia Woolf. I would hate you if you existed.
Divorce you if you existed, which is still the most cutting. Yeah. I get chills just saying that. The thing that we heard at the beginning was from there.
Hey, look here. Why don't we eat us a few thousand bears and you tell me what's buzzing in the big bad city?
I love that.
That's a great line.
Yes.
And, I've been doing some thinking, though. If we would like talk on the show and just have some music that would kind of punctuate things.
Just every time.
Do you think that... Yeah, just...
But I'm gonna be...
Just do this for like 3 hours?
Shining on me.
I mean, what do you think? It seems to work for that trailer.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
And then you say what you want to say. And then I say what I want to say.
And then when you look... And then when you say your lines, you look away.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to do that less is more thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to learn to ignore my instincts or at least change them. Okay.
There was a DJ at KCRW who did that. And I remember actually saying that in my interview. I said, what's going on with Morning Becomes Eclectic? Because I think, you know what I said is I think you guys might have a compression problem. Because what that thing sounded like, that trailer we played, that's what it sounds like when you compress something too much, right? Like every time there's no talking, then all of a sudden the compression pumps up all the other sound. And so it sounds like it's wavering like that. And it turns out that was maybe kind of the DJ of Morning Becomes Eclectic on KCRW also is like a real club DJ guy, and apparently that's a thing. They will do that. Like, he was doing it purposely, like kind of jamming it up and down as he was talking and making it like really, really extreme.
They go through Morning Becomes Eclectic hosts pretty frequently there. Was that like Garth Trinidad or something?
No, that was Bentley. I'm trying to think if Jason Bentley. Yeah, he's still doing it. Yeah. Yeah.
The like arc of every Morning Becomes Eclectic host is become the host of Morning Becomes Eclectic. All of the movie directors in LA listen to you as they're driving into work.
Yeah.
And then they hire you to music supervise their movies. And then you quit hosting Morning Becomes Eclectic.
Yes, exactly.
You make tons of money being a music supervisor for film and television. This is probably going to end badly. But when I was looking up rhinestone related things, actually I don't know if it was from looking up rhinestone or looking up Jack Roberts Limwood home appliance ads, but something just popped up. God, YouTube is just a wonderful thing, isn't it? Something popped up on the side. It just says 1982 special report, The Mall, in quotes.
Okay.
It's 50 minutes long. I am not proposing that we listen to all 50 minutes. But here's what the description is. Oak Park Mall is a super regional shopping mall located in Overland Park, Kansas, containing 180 stores. It is the largest mall in the Kansas City metro area, as well as the entire state of Kansas. Can I just play like 30 seconds of this?
Well, at least.
I don't know why this is so fascinating to me. 1982 special report, The Mall.
We have a lost little boy. His blonde hair, dark blue coat. He's wearing blue jeans. Would the parents please go to the mall office?
I want you to have that highlighter. And then I want you to think about this quarantine plum.
Okay, this is, unfortunately, this actually looks really watchable. I think it's literally a documentary about the mall, maybe. I guess I was kind of hoping it would have more like newscaster voiceover. What you're hearing are just basically people being recorded in real time.
They might be building up to it. Don't abort it yet.
Okay, okay.
Because right now, which one was that?
That is this.
This woman's at the makeup counter.
Right here, this is our brand new shade, Florentine Plum.
Because the dark.
Honey, that's what's going to set your eyes off.
This is the way we live now. Nice, even temperature, no rain, no snow, no loud noises. Music is playing.
This is Charles Kuralt, by the way.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Everything's perfect in the mall. Even if you're one of the few people who've never been inside a shopping mall, you can't help knowing they're here.
The irony of us playing this when malls are like, I mean, dropping like flies, Macy's mm-hmm. are closing all over the country. You go into a mall these days and it is like Deadsville. Although over the Christmas break, I had occasion to go to the Bellis Fair Mall a couple of times, where, by the way, DFTB works at the Starbucks in the food court at the Bellis Fair Mall.
Oh, really?
And I forgot he was working there, and I was just going to the mall to get something, and I just was like mindlessly walking. I just looked over and saw my brother making coffee, and it really wigged me out for a second.
I believe it.
Just because I wasn't expecting it. But I had such fun in that mall. I love like the smell of a pretzel, you know, mm-hmm. like whatever that Annie's pretzels or something.
And Auntie M's?
I don't know.
Auntie M's?
Auntie M's, yeah. That Auntie M's and like an orange, good orange Julius smell. And like those kiosks that sell all kinds of weird crap you don't need. I kind of love the mall. And I was like, I'm going to start going to the mall again.
Well, again, that might be partially, not to put my baggage on you. Again, we're of a certain age where I think we're really connecting with these feelings of our youth yes. or things that trigger certain
feelings. You're watching
feelings
Rhinestone and I'm going to the mall.
Right, exactly. But honestly, when the mall goes away, like, where am I going to get my Scarface-themed mirrors? Like, I don't know. I think the malls serve I remember one time I was at a mall with Genevieve. So this is in the last 17 years.
And that had to be like a Hot Topic or something?
No, it was one of those kiosks in the middle, and I think it was the holiday time. And we came out of a store, and there's that one of those kind of kiosk things right in the middle. And I pointed to and they were selling all kinds of mirrors, like mirrors with like yeah. movie scenes and like yeah. movie emblems on them. And I pointed to one that had Scarface on it. And, you know, I think it had what's his name? I think it had his
Al Pacino.
Pacino's face and Scarface, and I pointed at it and said to Genevieve, hey, I'll get that for my sister. Just a ridiculous thing to say. I'm not getting this for anybody, and I don't even know if my sister's ever seen Scarface. It doesn't seem like her kind of flick. And some guy overheard me and said, unironically, actually, there's a bunch of other ones over there, too. And I just remember thinking, like, wow, that guy thinks I'm getting a Scarface mirror for my sister yeah. for Christmas.
It's like they have Carlito's Way.
Yeah. Well, you just go into the De Palma section. There's all kinds of
exactly.
things you can choose from.
That reminds me, this is a weird show today, but I'm loving it, honestly. We're probably not going to get to any of the things we plan, but that just means we have tomorrow's show figured
oh,
out.
Oh, good.
So I can go see The Shape of Water with DFTV and have a wonderful night. No pressure. Which is the plan, by the way. I'm so excited to see that movie.
Yeah, good. Have you
seen it yet?
No, I haven't. You know, I know that I think that I will end up seeing it in the theater. It's getting it was nominated for Golden Globes, right? Did it win any? I don't know.
I don't know. Three billboards.
I know.
Our favorite topic of conversation apparently was a big winner. What I was going to say, though, completely off topic of what we were planning on talking about is when you talked about that Scarface mirror, it reminded me of, and I don't know if this is still a thing, but in our youth, if you went to like an amusement park or a midway of any kind, there was a lot of like winning heavy metal related small mirrors.
Yes, with like cardboard
the
frames.
Motley Crue mirror, like
yes.
small Motley Crue related mirror. That's such a bizarre trend to me. It seemed totally normal as a kid, but that's like really weird looking back on it.
I have a theory. Like I had one of those and I remember I got it at the Valley City Street Fair. I won it somehow and it had, I can't remember what the band was, but I remember distinctly the cardboard white frame with the red line that kind of circled it. And do you think that that is a result of like kind of cocaine culture kind of trickling down?
Wow.
Because it was the 80s. And we're talking about the early 80s, early to mid 80s here. Probably like 85, 86, actually.
Maybe. I mean, it's a weird thing to think, okay, we gotta make some BS that's so cheap that even if they win it, it doesn't really cut into our profit margin. What, mm-hmm. what can we do? Stuffed animals? Okay, that's a good idea. Keep thinking. Mirrors that say Dawkin.
Right.
Yes. Kids will love that.
Right. Oh, man, I'm looking at some of them. I'm going through looking at some of these now. I think we have an idea for a show pick. I don't know about you.
Get one of those for your sister.
Yeah, I will.
Hey, let's thank our donors of the day. By the way, all donors of the day for the next DP Telethon will be thanked with a Dio mirror.
Luke.
Or a...
Luke. This is actually what? Not a bad idea for the next TB Telethon. Not that maybe
that could
be
a thank you, gift.
Like, what if we had like some sort of TBTL throwback looking logo, and it's on one of these old mirrors? Do you think we can find a company that would still make them?
That'd be great. It's a nod to the cocaine culture of this show,
yeah,
too.
Right, your budding that's Adderall addiction.
Yeah, I know exactly. That's a great idea. No joke. See, this is why we do this, because we sometimes have good ideas for the
right.
show.
Right, yes.
Let's just consider this our 1 hour or 1 to 1.5 hour on-air show meeting every day that we record and also present
chain.
As the show.
Who's the project manager on this, though? That's what I want
to believe
know.
It's, I believe it's Ronnie James Dio.
Okay, good.
Let's thank our donors of the day. These are the wonderful, generous people who I should have been thanking yesterday. On our 10th year and one day anniversary show. But as we know, I was having printer problems. By the way, on that subject, get a life, HP.
Dial it up, man. What's going on?
Well, let me thank the donors of the day really quick, and then I'll tell you my beef with HP. Mary Anderson of Burien, Washington. Mary Anderson, somebody who supported TBTL during this year's TBTL-a-thon, and that's making the show possible. Also, Pamela Carlson of Westerboro, Massachusetts. How do you pronounce that?
Worcester, I believe.
Okay.
Still got it.
Megan. You know it, baby. Megan Keene of Brisbane, California. I didn't know there was a Brisbane, California. I wonder if they say Brisbane to try to be all Australian. Jennifer Finn of Arlington, Texas. Home of both the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers, if Jeopardy is not lying to me. And Robin Schmidt of Fall City, Washington. Beautiful Fall City. Mary, Pamela, Megan, Jennifer, and Robin, thank you for making TBTL happen. We really do appreciate it. We would not be here without you. And what I said at the end of yesterday's show, if you didn't make it all 3 hours, I'm not surprised. But I was, you know, kind of talking about the people who have been so instrumental in making this show happen for a decade now. And it's, of course, a lot of credit to Jen and Sean in the early days. Huge amount of credit to Andrew Walsh these days. But even I find it menacing when you say that in a regular voice. But an even bigger thanks to the listeners, because this show would no joke not exist if you guys didn't come out to the events and donate money to the show and tell your friends about it. And just, I mean, this thing is a like a Motley Crue mirror. It's a reflection of all of you, the listeners. And today we want to thank Mary, Pamela, Megan, Jennifer, and Robin for making it possible. Thank you so much. Dude, I have gone down such a, like, kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, mellow jazz rabbit hole over the last, like, month. During Christmas time, all I was listening to was the Oscar Peterson Trio Holiday channel on Pandora. And then when the holiday was over, I switched to just Oscar Peterson Trio. I'm just playing it like 24 hours a day, and I love it so much.
You're the guy who didn't even like jazz, right? Like,
this is an seriously interesting
gateway drug to me.
It's weird. I don't know. I just all of a sudden I love it, and I was like, I gotta go to Jazz Alley. I'm not even kidding you. I like want to go sit in Jazz Alley and listen to people play jazz music. I mean, I'm not like.
If you do that, I like. Call me. I'm for realsy. I've never been to Jazz Alley.
No way.
I always want to go.
Are you serious?
Yes, I like jazz. I mean, I don't know much about it. You know, I don't want to be one of those guys who says I like jazz, then you start asking me a bunch of questions about Duke Ellington or something. But like, no, on the few occasions that I've been in jazz clubs back in Cleveland, like I love the vibe. It's a great place to be, and I'm always looking for an excuse to go to Jazz Alley. But Genevieve won't go with me because she hates it.
Oh my God, let's totally go. I think that I have an aversion to the idea of jazz. It's a very loaded thing for me because, like, I'm not, at least at this point in my development, I'm not like crazy about like Miles Davis stuff. I'm not crazy about stuff that's kind of not accessible. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I'm listening to the
I'm listening to like Vince Guaraldi level of jazz. Like it's so accessible. Dave Brubeck. Like I love that kind of stuff. But it is, I mean, that's the most training wheels of jazz that you could ever be getting into. So I feel
those
a little sheepish.
Piano players, right? It sounds like you like piano jazz.
All three. Yeah, but of those, I can get down with I can get down with the horn daddy-o. See, it's just coming out now.
Oh,
turning
man.
Into a jazz
it's
man.
A real Luke.
get me a couple jazz cigarettes. I'm really enjoying it, and I've just been playing this Oscar Peterson trio, and then whatever else comes on that Pandora station. By the way, I'm going to be the last person listening to Pandora. Every time someone tries to send me something in Spotify, I'm like, I'm not on Spotify. I'm doing Pandora. They're like, get off of Pandora. But I don't know. I have all these stations set up, and I've been using it a long time. I know that makes me old. Like Pandora is the AOL account of music services.
Really? Is it that out of vogue? I didn't know that.
Well, I think Spotify is a superior product, honestly, because there's way more. I think you can do a lot more stuff. This is why I'm mad at HP, because I told you yesterday. Oh, and by the way, I got it right. I was out of the color cyan, which I didn't realize is blue. But I was
it is.
I said that yesterday. Yeah,
it was that yellowish.
That's
color.
What they said on Ask Jeeves.
Okay.
I would assume that it was yellow, but I will tell you that the cartridge that I had to take out was it was blue, and it said cyan on it. Oddly enough,
I couldn't have been more wrong. My apologies.
Well, I've always thought of it as blue as well. But and blue, that's the warmest color, right?
I think so. It's the color of chocolate.
So I'm mad at this printer because I don't print anything with color. I don't need color. There's like the black, ink setting, and I tell the computer, print in black and white. But because it was out of cyan, it wouldn't work until I replaced the friggin' cyan. I was like, I don't need cyan in my life.
Yeah.
So I went down to first I bought the wrong kind. This is why yesterday was a disaster and I couldn't thank the donors of the day because I didn't have my printout. So I went, I bought the wrong kind at Rite Aid at some point. So I had to take that back. And then I went to Office Depot. I got cyan, came back, put it in. And then it tells me the other two, magenta and whatever the other color, are out. I was like, can you tell me that in the first place?
Right.
Because it was only telling me that cyan was out. So then I had to make another trip to the store and get – by the way, somebody said this on the radio or maybe it was Jeopardy. We've been watching a lot of Jep around this house. But printer ink is the most expensive liquid on planet Earth. Isn't that interesting?
It is. But, I mean, if you
it is interesting
gold,
or it is the most expensive?
No, I guess it is interesting. I'm just trying – this is the first I've ever heard this fact. I guess I'm somewhat dubious, but I'll believe you. I mean,
or
I guess it depends how you define
not the most,
it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, probably so. But it's like it's insanely expensive if you think about it, because there's not that much in there, and it's like $30 for cyan. So I'm just – but it's a racket because basically this printer is – and I'm very pro printer because I'm anti-Earth, and as everybody knows. So I was like, the printer is holding me hostage because it won't – even though I don't need those colors, I felt like I was like one of those ants that's like a drone ant that there's a certain kind of bug that takes over another bug's brain.
Yes.
And then drives it around. I felt like the HP printer was doing that to me. It just drove me down to the Office Depot for the second time, made me shell out $50 to buy these two other dumb colors, bring them back and plug them in even though I'm not using them, because it's basically like I finally saw this printer for what it is, which is just a device that makes me buy their really expensive printer ink. It's their game, man. I mean, listen, I still am a fan of printing things, but I was very mad at HP today because I was like, I don't need your colors, but they were like, you will not be able to use this printer unless you go buy more of our sweet, sweet print juice.
So, I had a printer for a while in college, if you can believe it. I had less space than ever, and printers were bigger than ever, but I think it was a hand-me-down printer that I had hooked up to my non-internet 486. And this was an issue that I would run into a lot, because I think I could still use black But the second any one of those colors went away, I lost all color functionality, which and I'd have to throw away the entire cartridge, even if blue or cyan was still filled to the brim, but yellow was empty. And the other day, Genevieve and I were driving from the northern part of the city back home, getting off of I-5 right at 45th Street. You know that intersection well, right? Between Wallingford and the University District.
Cartridge world.
Exactly, my friend. And I said to Genevieve, how is it that this store, Cartridge World, can be taking up such a huge footprint of this real estate that would be prime real estate right now, just to sell computer cartridges in a day and age when probably people are using printers less than they did, I'm going to guess, 10, 15 years ago. And this is the answer to that question, because it is still a racket. Like, Cartridge World is just, well, it's printing its own money, Luke.
Oh, man. That, my friend.
Well, that's a pretty good spoof.
And let me add an addition.
Thank you.
That Cartridge World used to be the Excalibur Hotel, which is where Jesus Creek had its, like, what was it?
Like a fancy
homecoming banquet.
Yeah, I remember homecoming you mentioning banquet. That place the just recently. Yeah. I didn't know that that's where, now yeah. I can picture it.
That was it. It's now Cartridge World.
And it has been since I've lived here.
Yeah. It is a racket, but on the other hand, I mean, I don't know. I honestly was out of sorts yesterday because I didn't have my little thing printed out. I'm that for whatever reason. And everybody like on Wait, Don't Tell Me, they do their whole show on an iPad. Like all of Peter's stuff is on an iPad and Bill Curtis's stuff is on an iPad. I feel bad about this, by the way, but I gotta have my thing printed out. I feel it's like a security blanket. Like I gotta have my script for Livewire printed out. When we do those 24 hours of shows, I'm gonna have 10 show sheets printed out so I can like, there's just something about, I need to have it in a printed out form to feel okay about things.
I have a list of things I need to kind of get before the show, and one is a couple of big clean notebooks too, because we've already started the kind of some skeletal show sheet stuff that we will be filling in as we plan this plan out our routes, and once we know our routes, then we'll know who's in the bus with us or the van, and then we'll be able to kind of like plan around that and produce that. Again, I'm hoping that Jen will take over about 4 to 7 hours of this for us. But I do think that there's going to be a lot of kind of scribbling on the fly as well, and kind of like some kind of planning. And so you and I both need, I think, decent sized notebooks, fresh, clean notebooks. So I don't want to be doing back of the napkin stuff. I'll get you one.
No. Yeah. We're going to, marathon, I guess you could call it, 24 hour of podcasting that we're going to do. There's just so much. I'm not trying to stress you out, but just the logistics of it. Just like, what is the coffee situation? And are we going to be drinking coffee the whole time? Is that a bad idea? Will we crash from that? What's the food and beverage plan? What's the, like you said, the paper, you know, notepad? I just feel like it's only 24 hours, but I feel like we're going on like a 2-week journey or something. I feel like there's so much stuff we need to have ready to go.
Well, I think it's okay to say this. We have a friend in the coffee business who has offered to provide some cold brew for the trip already. Now, that was before I stopped following him on Twitter.
I was going to say, I don't know if you can assume that relationship is still intact with Broadcast Coffee Roasters. Hey, if we're giving quick shout outs to sponsors, let me just mention that we have a new sponsor on the show called Everlane.
Mm-hmm.
And they were nice enough to send us some clothes. And oh my God, Andrew, I am in love with this place. They sent me this t-shirt that I've like, it's like the best t-shirt I've ever had in my entire life. Did you get a t-shirt from them?
I'm still waiting on my box, but that's how the company started, right? And I need to tread carefully here because I don't have the history in front of me, but I'm pretty sure some people will remember this was the company that began by just selling a single white t-shirt, because their idea was like casual wear, as you said in the spot, in the official spot, like they wanted to, you know, do casual wear, but not have it just be this kind of cheapo, sometimes uncomfortable stuff. So they just wanted to start really, really simple, but do it right. And since then, in 6 years, they're just kind of growing. And I haven't gotten my stuff yet, but I've been looking at the website.
Dude, you're going to love
all so beautiful.
You're going to love your jeans. I'm wearing them right now. They sent us some and they're just like so comfortable. They're like kind of stretchy in a good way. Like they're not, sometimes jeans can be uncomfortable because they're too like stiff or something. These are just great. It's all really well made stuff. And I know this, like, it's weird because we're not in the part of the show where we do ads, but I'm just really stoked about it. Like, I was like, I got this box from them and I was like, holy crap, this stuff is, yeah, they basically, they make a bunch of basics like jeans and t-shirts and sweaters, things that you kind of need, but it's all really high quality. Anyway, sorry if that was weird for everyone, but Everlane. Oh, and also, here's what I was going to tell you. They made a page with the clothes. Then I think they sent you a bag too or something, Andrew. They've made a page with the stuff they've sent us, so people can go there and like dress like us or whatever. Or
A bag like you. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah. No, I got to go. I checked the porch earlier. I haven't seen it yet, but I was looking at their bags. That's great.
I know that they're sending you a bag because it's on the page where people can go. I assume if you go to like everlane.com/TBTL, you can see like what we're wearing from that company, which is actually the reason I brought it up. It's kind of funny that people can track our fashion habits now.
Yes.
Go to everlane.com/TBTL. It's good stuff. I highly recommend it. So there you go.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week I hope that it's from a female. Oh man, it's not from a female.
All right, my friend. We got any emails or V-mails that you want to get to quickly?
We do have emails, but don't rush me. I'm just joking.
Okay, well, you have after these messages to record.
I'm just teasing.
I'm trying to be careful about your time.
I will say this show just went by in a flash.
Well, you start talking Rhinestone.
I am seriously
and playing news updates from the mall, Charles Corral at the mall, and the show really flies by. I'm going to have to watch Rhinestone now. You have me genuinely interested.
Yes, but so I was texting with a buddy of mine who was in the perfect mood to watch that movie. It was a Friday. I didn't feel like watching anything complicated. It just seemed like a good kind of kick off my shoes and watch this dumb thing. And I was texting a friend of mine who also has kind of a similar taste in that kind of bad movie. And I said, hey, you should maybe check this out. And he said, yeah, I've been meaning to. I've heard of it. Let me see if I can talk my roommate into it. And I right away said, go easy on this. I recommend this movie, but in the spirit with which it's intended. And I think that if anybody who is going to try to force their partner an 11 and say, oh, Andrew says this movie is great, just give it a shot, you're going to end up with a pissed off person on your hands. So just I do recommend the movie when everybody's in the right frame of mind. Is that a caveat?
Okay.
I feel very protective of this movie. Some people are still trying to figure out what we should call our live show /24-hour adventure. When I say some people, I mean, I guess us included. Nate had an idea. Nate posted this on Facebook. He said, we're all trying to come up with great ideas for the 10th anniversary. And Andrew just strolls in nonchalantly with disappointingly responsible and crushes all of the competition. So disappointingly responsible is a candidate for what we call this 24-hour adventure.
Okay.
How about this one here? We haven't. Where are we on that, by the way? What are we calling it? We haven't really.
I've been kind of informally calling it the 10th abration.
That's fine. That's good.
Which is, I don't know. I always do some version of that, though. So I'm very open to new or better ideas.
Hey, I got a voicemail here from somebody who's having an identity crisis vis-a-vis her relationship to TBTL. Let me play this for you.
Oh, okay. Hello, TBTL. I am considered to be an 11. I have convinced my husband I'm a 10 and a half. He has been listening to you from the beginning, and so have I, but I dropped off. He kept going. Since you're having your 10th anniversary, I need to know if I am a 10 and a half or a 10. I have been to 2 live wires. I am now listening to your show every day. I've met you at a place on Seward Park. I don't know. I've looked up videos from things that you've dropped. I need to have the recognition from you if I am, in fact, a 10 or a 10 and a half.
Oh, and by the way, I think I'm going to continue here because I don't think we have the sister's name, but she mentions that you used to run into her husband a lot.
Or an 11, but obviously I don't want that. I'm absolutely looking for some direction here. My husband is the one who would work at Icon Grill when you would bring your daughter in after the Nutcracker.
Yeah.
Anyway, talk to you guys soon, I hope. Bye-bye.
I think I cut it out because I was tightening up a little bit, but I think she mentions that her husband's name might have been Nick. I don't know if that rings a bell to you or not.
Yes, it does. I know Nick. Nick's a sweetheart. I would see him once a year when Addie and I would go to the Nutcracker. We would always go to Icon Grill, and that was our little tradition. This person might be a 9.
Bigger than a 10.
Than a 10. Like, this is not even a question for a minute. I mean, you've come to Livewire. You've... been to events, you are calling the voicemail number, probably thanks to a jingle.
Yeah, I think if you're calling the voicemail line, unless you're in a relationship and your partner's forcing you to call the voicemail line, like, if you have these questions, you are a 10.
Listen, blink if someone's holding a gun to you and right. making you leave this voicemail message.
Right, right.
Yeah. That is not even in question. This woman is a 10. If ever there was one. And again, she might be something even more hardcore than a 10.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. I knew you would feel that way, too. I just wanted to play it so we could reassure her, especially since this is a very important time in TBTL history, of course.
It sure is.
Let's see here. A couple quickies here. I thought you might find this interesting as a fella who's kind of... How should I put this? Working the refs.
I'm really interested to hear what comes next. I think you might find this interesting because you're a fella who... How do I put this?
I should have let that pause sit there much longer. Really let you sweat. So during our no regert spectacular, we played a voicemail from a listener who dropped an ice cream cone as a kid and then took her dad's. And she just kind of had this latent kind of regret over how she acted about the whole
thing. At a baseball game. At a Giants game, which I believe she misspoke and said Jose Canseco played for the Giants.
Right, exactly. It's all coming back. So Andrea posted this on Facebook. About that dropped ice cream, a friend of mine always takes the empty cone back to the store and asks for a new scoop, claiming that it wouldn't have dropped if the scooper placed it on the cone correctly in the first place. This shocked me. I always assumed if the ice cream drops, it's my fault, probably from attacking it too aggressively. Have you ever returned to the ice cream store and asked for a new one for free after dropping your ice cream?
That is such a good question.
That is
bonkers. I have not, but I would definitely consider it. But here's how I would do it. Because I've dropped... I remember being a kid and dropping a milkshake. I was in Philly for Christmas. I was a little kid. And we got, I don't know if we got skateboards or bikes. I would have remembered if I got a skateboard. But maybe I borrowed my cousin's. But we skateboarded over to the Burger King. And it was so cold out. I just remember my face. You probably know this from Ohio. Like that kind of cold where your face is just instantaneously numb. And you're just like... Basically, just have tears streaming down your face, but you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so cold. It was like that, and we skateboarded to the Burger King. Why I decided to have a chocolate shake in that Burger King, I mean, they'll be talking about it till the end of time, and no one will know the answer because it makes no sense. But I went in, I got my chocolate shake from Burger King, probably with some Christmas money. I was very excited about this. And then dropped it, and the whole thing just went everywhere. I went back and said, I dropped my shake, can I have another shake? And they gave me one, probably because I was a kid.
Yeah.
If the ice cream cone, at this point in my life, honestly, I would just buy another ice cream cone. But if I did go back, I would go back in a way that said that was not blaming them. I would say this. I would be like, hey, I'm an idiot and I managed to drop this ice cream cone. Is there any chance I could have a replacement? But I would be coming from the perspective of like, this is on me. And if you want to do me a kindness, you could, but you're not, this, it's not a defective ice cream cone that you made defective. That would not be how I would present it.
Yes, me too. I don't even know if I would go back, but often when I am shuffling to my seat in the movie theater, as you know, like, I'm somebody who doesn't really apologize for my gluttonous ways that much anyway, but especially when I'm in the movie theater, like just when we're on vacation in Hawaii, like Veeves and I just finished a big, delicious meal on the coast, and then we went to a movie theater to watch the Star Wars movie, and I was full, man. I was full. I was nowhere near hungry, but I'll be goddamned if I wasn't going to wait in that line for 15 minutes. By the way, not to be rude, but lines are super long in Hawaii because the people behind the counter are always super polite, but in my experience, don't feel any kind of societal pressure to hustle when the line is getting really long. Just
Island
in my
time,
experience.
Bro.
Exactly.
Mahalo.
I mean, it was actually more than Aloha. 15 minutes. I waited in line for a bag of popcorn for like 20 minutes, and there weren't that many people in line in front of me. I won't even get into the taco stand story. But anyway, I will often think as I'm taking my giant tub of popcorn and my oversized, you know, thing of soda to my seat, you know, trying to hide my shame as much as possible, I do think to myself, if I drop this Coke right now or the popcorn, would I be able to just go up and say, hey, I'm really sorry, I dropped this. Can you do me a solid? Like, obviously, in that case, I can't blame them for my own gluttony.
Right.
But I would certainly maybe ask, and if they said no, I would probably just pay for more because I'm not going to watch a movie without stuffing my face.
One of the most vivid and kind of terrible childhood memories I have, which, by the way, this indicates how good my childhood was, that this is one of my worst memories because this is really not that big of a deal. I went, my friend Peter Williams, my best friend growing up, his sister Dahlia worked at the Majestic Bay Theater in Ballard, which is now like all nice and cool, but it used to be a real crap shack in the day. And she worked at the concession stand. So we went to see a movie, and I want to say it was like called like Blackbeard the Pirate or something. It was like a pirate movie, but it wasn't like Pirates of the Caribbean. That stuff wasn't out yet. I remember it being some kind of piratey movie. And because Dahlia worked at the concession stand, we got like a soda. And I got like the largest soda that they made. But for some reason, I didn't put a lid on it. And I put the soda, I was like dealing with the popcorn too or something, maybe Twizzlers. And I put the soda on the armrest. And I'm watching the movie. And I look, and out of the corner of my eye, I see something moving. What I didn't realize was the armrests were not level. They were slightly sloped. And the giant, like, you know, movie theater soda, the giant bucket of soda was shimmying. It was wobbling as it was shimmying down the seat armrest and in slow motion tumbling into my lap. This is the opening credits of the film play.
Oh, God.
And I'm just sitting in like 2 gallons of Mr. Pibb. Also decent show title, by the way, 2 gallons of Mr. Pibb.
Yeah.
And it just, you know that feeling, particularly when you're a kid, where you're just like, oh, my God, like, right in my lap, so much soda. And what I realized after that was the smell of peeing your pants is not urine. It's the smell of wet jeans.
Oh. So if I get a different kind of fabric, I can just start peeing my pants all the time.
I think, you know, I'm sure the pee plays a little bit of a role.
Yeah.
But it felt like I peed my pants. It smelled like I peed my pants. I was so miserable. But also, I was a kid. I didn't have agency. I was like, I gotta sit here and watch the rest of this movie because I didn't have a car. I couldn't just leave. I was with my friend. So I just sat there with soda filling the cracks of my heart and crotchal region. It was a bad day for me. A very bad day.
I will say this would have been a great opportunity for you to pee your pants with impunity if you had wanted to.
Yes, freebie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a freebie.
My dad has the weirdest sense of humor. He's such a sweet guy. I don't think of him as a particularly funny person. Sometimes he unintentionally does funny things, like when he brought home a cassette tape of the song Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin and made the entire family listen to it because he loved the song so much. He just randomly came home one day and was like, you got to hear this song. And I was into it because it was non-Christian music and I wasn't really allowed to listen to that. So I felt like I'll take it. But my dad and mom were driving around Seattle the other day, they must have been, and they went up to this, what used to be this elementary school that I went to called Pillar of Fire. And it did not disappoint, by the way. It was hardcore fundamentalist Christianity where they would just beat the S out of you.
Oh my God.
I had this teacher named Mrs. Foreigner who was just, I mean, she was like right out of Central Casting of just like evil older teacher who just was, just would whack us. And my dad and mom were driving around. They went up to see that school for some reason. Now it's some like beautiful home. It's like turned into someone's house. And my dad said, "Hey, check this out." He sent me a picture and I was like, "Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, they've made it into this like really nice house now." And he goes, "Yeah, I wonder if there's still pee on the floor from where you peed your pants."
Oh my God.
Because I peed my pants in kindergarten there. I was trying to get through a workbook. I remember I was on a page about circle things that start with the letter K. And I was doing like, I was sliding back and forth in my seat. I know I've told this story on the show many times. And I raised my hand for Miss Foreigner and I was like, "Can I please go to the bathroom?" She was like, "You have to finish your work." Yeah, and so something was going to give. And just peed my pants right there and then. And then later, this is crazy. This is another story that involves Burger King. We went to Burger King, me and my mom. She said, "Smells like somebody peed their pants." And I said, "Not me.
Just Mr. Pibb on my jeans."
Just, yep, Mr. Pibb. That's all it is. Nothing to see here. Keep it moving, Susie.
Speaking of your dad, I have a confession. I don't know if this is a confession to make, but I was talking yesterday about how I'm trying to winnow down the people I'm following on Twitter.
Unfollow him on Twitter?
No, yeah, like I want to unfollow people on Twitter, but like your dad is one of the people who has not tweeted in 60 plus days, as our friend Barry has pointed out. He has not tweeted since September 20th of 2014, when I think he was just trying to get
about Loader.
He was just trying to get into this Hobbit contest. He was trying to win this Hobbit contest for him and your brother, right? To get to,
hey, can I update you on that?
Yeah, what's going on?
First of all, definitely unfollow my dad on Twitter. He will never know.
I know, but I just sort of feel like, I don't know. I don't want to stop following Walter Burbank. One of these days, he's just going to like come in strong with a great tweet, and I don't want to miss it.
I'm trying to think, outside of Loader, what fire tweets my dad would send. They'd probably be about vinyl lettering on businesses. It'd be about maybe like a Gerber sign maker plotting device that will cut vinyl letters for you. He probably
that sounds kind of interesting.
Put them on blast.
All right, I'm going to unfollow them only because I'm trying
okay.
To be
so
true
here's
to my word.
Here. This is really cute though. This is a cute story about DFTB. By the way, I'm going to start calling Rudy RFTP. Rudy from the podcast.
Okay,
good. You cool with that, Rudy? You want to be RFTP? Are you down with that? So this is so cute, actually. So I hope DFTB is fine with me mentioning this, but as you said, my dad got on Twitter because he wanted to win some cockamamie contest to get to go to New Zealand, because he and my brother are freaking obsessed with Lord of the Rings, and David bought them tickets to New Zealand. He like saved his money up. Like, he worked two jobs. He worked at Starbucks in the morning, this is when he was living in Seattle, and Cafe Lago at night, and saved up all this money and bought them tickets to New Zealand. Isn't that freaking adorable?
It is totally adorable. An amazing feat. I'm only pausing because I thought we had talked about this on the show, but we must have talked about it. Everything blends together. Maybe I was talking about it with David when he was watching Browns games.
Oh, maybe.
With me or something.
Or maybe we brought it up.
Maybe we didn't. But yeah, no, that is. I mean, and I'm not trying to paint David in any kind of a light here, but like, he's a recent college graduate, man. He's not earning those big podcast bucks yet, right? Like, you know, he's working for every penny.
Yeah. Like, he would have he would finish his shift at Cafe Lago and then, like, go home and sleep for, like, 3 hours and then go to his Starbucks gig. I mean, he was really burning the candle at both ends post-college, and it was all to save up. The reason I bring this up is because he gave this to my dad as a Christmas present.
Yeah, how did your dad react?
He reacted exactly how I expected, which was, he just kept staring at my sister, Rachel, videotaped the whole thing. And he just was sort of staring at, like, David gave him some kind of, like, scroll or, I don't know, some Lord of the Ringsian thing that was, like, telling him they're going to the Shire. and he just kept staring at it, like, trying to wrap his mind around what was happening. And then everybody cried.
It
was very cute. What's cute now though is it's like he is so geeking out on this. Like all he'll talk about with David is loader stuff. Like I can't remember, David was reading me some of their text messages yesterday, and they're just like, my dad is honestly like thinks he's living in Middle Earth right now. He cannot stop talking about Lord of the Rings with David and about where they're gonna go, and they have this whole elaborate itinerary they're covering of all of the places. I mean, this is like the most excited I've ever seen my dad about anything, including his own children.
That which is hurts. Well, this is but, part of his own children. That is
well, exactly.
That,
he that. Likes one of his kids, the one that bought him a trip to New Zealand.
What have
but
you
no,
done?
it's so adorable. I just love it. It honestly makes me want to cry because I love both of those guys, and I just think it's really, really cute. So anyway, everybody can unfollow my dad on Twitter is my point. He doesn't need to win the trip to New Zealand anymore because he's going to New Zealand.
I did unfollow him.
Okay.
Just a moment ago. I kind of felt
You'll
bad about it, but
me.
Like 2014 was a long time ago for the last time to tweet. So
I would say that he has probably actually forgotten that Twitter exists.
Not his account, but as a thing.
And that's not, he doesn't have any, there's no dementia. This is not, you know, I just think he's just so not into any of that kind of stuff that he signed up because he probably read online, this is how you win this contest. He was trying to win the contest. But right now, if you said, do you know what Twitter is, he'd probably be foggy on it. Now, if you asked him what the Horn of Gondor was, he would be like, I know exactly what it is. I just built one. That's the other thing is my dad's hobby now is making Lord of the Rings weaponry.
Really? And he's got some skill because he's a sign maker, so he knows his way around
a
lathe.
No, it's really good. He does. He made Gandalf's staff, and it's so good. It looks exactly like the real thing. Like, he's just chilling out there in Silverdale making Lord of the Rings-related props.
Wow.
It's so funny to me for some reason.
I am looking ahead to the end of the show music here, and there's a song I kind of wanted to play, but it's a little bit risky.
Okay.
So it's a Dolly Parton song, if you're cool with just like, if we can just like close the loop on this. And she's got a song that I discovered on this Billboard, you know, .com best 15 Dolly Parton songs, and it's called The Seeker. And it's a spiritual, but it was like on her first or second album. And then
really?
She redid it in
it's
like the 90s.
It's not the Who song, The Seeker?
No, it's a straight up spiritual. And she redid it in the 90s, and it's not anywhere near as good. And so I just want to make sure that I'm playing the right version. And I think I've got the right version here. Can we play a little bit of it? And
yeah,
then,
tell me if it's the version.
Sure. And then we can say our good our howdy do's. Yeah, I think this is the stripped down one, the original.
Good, I like it already.
I am a seeker, a poor sinful creature. There is none weaker than I am.
Oh, this is good, man.
God,
all right, thanks
voice.
For listening, everybody. We will be right back here with more Imaginary Radio tomorrow. So join us then, won't you? Until then, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day. Won't you show me the way? I am a vessel that's empty and useless. I am a bad seed that fell by the way. I am a loser that wants to be a winner. You are my last hope. Sinful creature, there is no weaker than I am. I am a seeker, and you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down. Return and leave me. Guide me, keep me in the shelter of your care.
Power out.